Rights. Who has them? Who should have them? Oh, I'm not saying this. Okay.
Wow. God
I guess
damn, dude.
we're really in the Batman reptilian spirit, aren't we?
We sure are. We sure are.
Thank
No,
you for
everyone
stating that,
deserves
Emily.
rights, guys. Everyone deserves rights. And you have the right to remain entertained for the next hour and a hour or so, because this is the Comics Podcast, episode 267. I know you're wondering why the voice that you're hearing is not the voice of one Jean-Luc Botville. It's because he's still with his family, enjoying family time. I'm guessing that's what you do with your family. Random voices who I haven't introduced yet. What do you think Jean-Luc's doing with his family?
I wouldn't know. I was raised by wolves in the forest, and our traditions are much different than what I imagine happens in the Midwest.
You had me till you said Midwest. I think it's pretty similar, actually. I think it's you got the wolf stuff going on. How about other disembodied voice? What's Jean-Luc up to?
Thing about Jean-Luc is he's actually a disembodied or a simpy. You know what? I had jokes and I can't talk. I don't fucking give a shit what he's doing. I'm worried that I'm not recording very well because I don't see my waveform moving.
I see
Don't
it
worry.
moving.
Oh,
Yeah,
okay. I don't see my waveform either. And now that we've broken the
Oh.
eighth wall, I
Oh.
think that
I see both
Zencastr
of
does this.
yours moving, so I don't. Maybe it's just like an issue on your end because I see all of ours moving when we
Moving
talk.
right along, I'd like to introduce one of our lovely people on this podcast who, and if you've been listening, you know all about the voice of one Emily. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I recently paid someone to draw a picture of my cats, and I'm going to print make a print of it and frame it in my house. I'm going to send it to our group chat right now.
I think I saw this on Twitter.
You probably did. It was posted on Twitter earlier today.
Ooh, so there's a bit of Twitter exclusivity for a while. Oh, that's so cute.
I know, my little boys and their little crowns.
Wow.
We
What
do
are
very
the
different things with our money.
The other voice you just heard is one Chad Waller. Chad, what is it you do with your money?
I don't commission people to draw my cat as a prince.
I mean, you probably, well, I didn't specify the prince part. That was artistic liberty taken, and it just happens to fit very well with my two little baby boys.
I like it. It reminds me of a good old Biggie Smalls. Yeah, but in cat form, and alive. So good for your cats, I guess. That's good.
I like Siggy
Yay!
Balls.
Yay! How wonderful! How wonderful! Well, I
Wait,
don't know
so, but
why I opened
Chad,
my
what do
mouth.
you use your money for?
Yeah, that's.
Lately it's been liquor and then the Lego set.
Lately it's been liquor, Chad?
Lately, yeah. What?
L
Is
lately?
all do
I
you
guess
do you
always
have
it's
something to
been
say,
liquor.
Emily? Something to Are you insinuating?
No, I'm not insinuating
Okay.
anything.
All right, Chad,
I
continue then. Sorry.
artificially insinuate.
It's
Wow.
about artificial insinuation.
That's a good punchline to a joke we did not set up properly, but everyone should remember that and use it in your day-to-day.
Yeah, use it in title. Also, Jean-Luc likes the photo. You're not going to see the photo because we don't do that here. It's an audio
You can
podcast, as
check it out on my Twitter.
you can hear it. Yes,
Go
check it out.
follow
We're
me on Twitter.
What's your Twitter, Emily?
It's at mpandanata.
And I'm at
Oh,
Alex
I'll probably
Hanziak. Thanks for
mate.
stopping by, guys. This has been the Comics Podcast.
Good show,
We'll see you next
guys.
week. Yeah, it's pretty good. Jean-Luc says that the cat is cute.
He
Asked if it's
also
some
asked,
warrior cat's shit,
yeah,
which
he
is
asked if
fair.
this was some warrior cat's shit, which is fair, which also, this happened the last time when I drew a picture of a bunch of my friends' cats, and one of my friends definitely thought that I had just drawn warrior cat's fan art.
So, are all cats warrior cats, or are there just some regular cats who are not warrior cats? Like, are they chosen?
Well, Alex, if you had listened to the episode, you would know this. My phone just fell off the table. Ignore
I
that.
listened to two warrior cats episodes, Emily.
If you had listened to the episode, you would
You didn't
know
retain them.
that
Well, that's touche.
you would know that house cats are called kitty pets, and warrior cats are cats that live
So I'm
freely in the
getting
forest.
a PTSD flashback and would like to not.
Okay, so before we listen to Chad's demands, can a whatever you what's the word for regular cat in a house? It's a
Kitty pet.
That's wonderful. So can a kitty pet one day be like, yo, I'm going to be a warrior cat today. Just go outside and they're a warrior cat? Or is it like, you cannot be a warrior cat? And then there's like 12 books about that?
That's what happened in the very first Warrior Cats book. The protagonist of the very first section of the series is a kitty pet that decides to leave his plush life behind, living in a house, and join a warrior clan.
Wow. And that is time for Warrior Cats, because Chad, you know, doesn't want to talk about it now. But I don't know. You guys have fun on those shows. They're fun to
listen
to.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun.
We should probably do another one at some point so I can talk at you about Moby Dick.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear about Moby Dick, because I never read it.
One of these days, we'll set that up and do it.
Chad, you got all these jokes, and then you say Moby Dick, and there's just, like, silence. It's just, that's it? That's the whole...
It's the name
of
the book.
It's the book.
I didn't make it up.
Well, okay. I believe that, I guess. I believe it's been around for a while. All right. So while we're here, before we talk about our weeks, talking about special episodes, what's a special episode you'd like us to do? Because, I mean, we've done the whole, hey, we're listening to music, or, hey, these are our favorite, like, you know, three comics or one comic, and we're talking about them. So, Chad, if you could subject this all to a special episode or something like that, what would you do? Not to put you on the spot, but...
I would have us take the week off.
Okay. I like it.
That's pretty special.
And what would we be doing on this week off?
Mm.
I like it. I like it. It's very flowy. Could go either way. It'd be neat to do another one of those we each record 20-minute segment, just because it was nice to, like, see what you guys did, like, see who you guys brought on. I guess, Emily, you haven't done one of those yet, have you?
No, I guess I haven't. I have not gotten to bring on a guest for the show.
Yeah, it's like you get your own. I guess we would make it like, we could still do a 20-minute segment. Yeah, we could still, you know, go an hour 20. Whoever edits it, sorry. But it's just putting them all together. I mean, we'd all edit our own halves then, wouldn't we?
And then
put it
that
together.
That seems like an equitable way to do that.
So that's my idea for a special episode. Emily, what would you do? What do you want to see us do? Yeah.
I mean, I would probably have us each pick, like, a cartoon to talk about, because that's just the thing that I care about.
Yeah.
But maybe we each have to, like, pick one of the many. As I was scrolling through HBO Max earlier today, or not earlier this week rather, and I discovered that there are way more of those DC animated movies than I thought.
God.
And it would be very funny if each of us picked one of them.
I think they started in 2009 or something around then, and they've just, like, maybe even a bit earlier than that.
I kind of remember seeing, like, I remember watching a couple of them when I was in, like, my senior year of high school, when I was hanging out at my local comic shop a lot, but, like, I didn't realize how many of them had been made. There's, like, one for The Dark Knight Returns. There's a Red Sun movie. Did not know that. So I would be interested in each of us having to pick one of those specials.
Yeah,
that sounds like homework, though. I'm kind of over homework.
I mean, you just have to, like, watch a, like, what, an hour-long movie? How long could these fucking
things
be?
They're not very long. They're mostly, like, an hour and 10 minutes, because they're like, okay, we're out of money.
Yeah.
There you go. It's been adapted enough. I just hope no one picks... there's a lot of bad ones. There's some good ones there, too, though.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the Hush one, so I know.
I haven't seen that one yet, but...
It's not good.
So that's something to look forward to. We got an episode where we don't record and everyone gets a week off. We have one where we all record separately, and we have one where we watch DC animated films. So, wow.
The funny thing about the DC animated films is my neighbor who I play ping pong with probably owns most of them as DVDs.
Exactly. So you can just go and borrow one.
Yeah, I mean, that is an option.
Yeah, and you could even make your choice whichever one he recommends as his favorite. And then we can, you know, be kind to his choice, because we're kind people on this podcast. Yes, yes.
We're so nice.
We can be.
Yeah. Yeah. But how are you guys doing? How are your weeks? How are your weeks going?
I've been all right. I have to upgrade my phone.
You are the only person I know that has to upgrade their phone and is not, like, waiting it out to... when they can upgrade their phone and not have to like pay out the butt for it to end.
Wait,
their
no, I'm getting a free upgrade.
Chad, is your phone though still the old like 15-year-old phone, or have you got an upgrade since then?
I got an upgrade a couple years ago, but I got the shittiest Google phone they had because I didn't want to spend a lot of money.
Yeah,
and I was just like, I just want a phone, and I don't want something that's huge. Like, just why is this so complicated?
Sure.
But apparently, if you're buying the shittiest phone a couple years ago, they're upgrading to 5G, and it won't work at all. So, my brother needs to upgrade his. He also has like a 15-year-old phone that he's finally got to get rid of. And wow. Phone stuff's so frustrating. I don't know how people enjoy this or are just like enchanted by this industry. Like, I walk in there and it's like, okay, what are my options? And he's like, it's basically like this crap ass Samsung or this foreign phone that this is like the first year they're in the United States, but they've been making them for 5 years. It's called a
Huawei.
Oh, what the hell is it called? It starts with an N.
Hmm.
Nord, I think, kind of like the VPN, but not that company. Yeah, it's a Nord or something like that.
Okay.
And so I'm like, well, which one has a better camera? He's like, I don't know. I use an iPhone. And it's like, well,
that's not very helpful.
That's not helpful at all. And like, I'm trying not to be an asshole, but he's making it really hard because he doesn't really know anything. And I'm just like, yeah, I also don't like smartphones. And he's like, well, these are the options. So I'm getting the Nord one because it's got a bigger hard drive on it.
Okay.
And that'll be at some point. I had to, he couldn't order them or get, they didn't have any in stock because of the chip shortage. And he's like, and I can't order them. So you're going to have to call and have it shipped to your house. And then if you can't set it up, you're going to have to come back and we'll set it up here.
Why can't they call and get it set up?
And I was like, why can't you call and just order them in? You're a phone store. You sell phones. He's like, well, my manager probably could, but I can't.
And I like this guy.
You fucking suck, bro. And so I'm on the phone for 40 goddamn minutes ordering two of these phones because Joe wanted one too.
Oh, he got a Nord too?
Yeah, it seemed like the better of the two options. Like, I don't know much about it, but it apparently it's more comparable to like a couple generations ago iPhone versus the shitty is Samsung, which is worse and then doesn't have as many bells and whistles. Like, well, I might as well get the weird European phone.
Yeah, it's
never, I've never heard of it. I have no idea if this is a mistake or not, but it's on its way.
It sounds very like Nordic, which, you know, Nord. Wow.
And I'm on the phone for like 40 goddamn minutes, and I'm like, why is this taking so long? This is terrible, but whatever. And then she's like, oh, do you want a case? And it's like, is it free? No. Then, no, I don't want your fucking case. You're going to charge me $30 for a case. That's what you tried to do last time, you assholes.
Damn.
So I'll have an update on this story next week because it's going to be here Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
Congrats
so at least
on your
shipping
phone,
it
Chad.
Fast. Yeah, I'm super stoked.
Wow. Maybe you can record the next episode from it.
I hate my current phone, so I mean, it technically can't be worse, but I also know that that's not true.
Yeah. I mean, now you can become a phone gamer, though. You can play the newest phone games. You can be a Clash of Clans person.
You can play Genshin Impact.
It'll be nice to have a 64 gig hard drive instead of a 32.
Oh, nice.
Not that I do a lot of videos or pictures, but it's really hard to do them on the current thing when I just don't have the space because the hard drive takes up like 10 plus gigs. And sure. Then everyone smiled like, oh, hey, we installed random garbage apps you don't need. It's like, cool.
I don't think Nord would do that to you. And if they did, they'd be really cool apps.
I hope so.
Find your Viking? No, I don't know. But I'm excited. I'm not even going to Google what it looks like because I want to.
I mean, it looks like a phone.
Is it a circle?
Literally
no.
All phones just look like a black rectangle.
I'm imagining it's like a donut shaped.
It's what's really frustrating is it's like a quarter of an inch bigger than mine. And this is the smallest one I could pick of the two.
Right.
Which is also like, why are phones so fucking big now?
I hate it. I hate that phones are so big and like my tiny little thumb cannot make its way all across the screen. So I have to like hold it in specific ways to like be able to hit certain buttons or just give up, put it in my other hand and use my right hand to click things on my phone. Like, I should be able to do this in one hand, but I have tiny baby hands.
Damn.
I also have tiny baby hands.
I also have tiny baby hands. You know,
tiny
I'm glad we're on
baby
the show,
hand
guys.
Solidarity.
Wow. We're probably gonna like meet up in person and Chad's got like hands that are like 30 feet tall.
Yeah, I'm totally not lying about my tiny baby hands.
Why would you lie about that, Chad?
I don't know. Why would I, Alex?
I don't know. I don't know you. Well, I hope I know you. I don't know. It's been, what, 267 episodes? Well, give or take, a few that probably... But 250 episodes?
You know what kind of furry porn Chad likes, but you don't know how tall he is. That's what it's like to be friends.
I don't know what his hands look like. I mean,
I don't think he does know what kind of furry porn I like.
How dare you, Chad?
That stuff.
I assume, based on things that you've talked about over the course of this podcast, it should have come up.
I know your I follow your Twitter account, Chad. I talk to you. I talk to Cameron. You know, I got a lot of points of information. But for the listeners who don't know, Chad, what is your favorite type of furry porn?
It's lactation. Guess so.
We're not talking. Wow, that was a deep cut.
He didn't say no. So, survey says
no.
Well, now he said no.
I don't like lactation. I like boobs. I don't like things coming out of them. It's not a thing that I enjoy.
That's a hard stance that the Comics Podcast takes.
I mean, it's a hard stance that I will take. I won't speak for the whole podcast.
Chad, do you agree with this take?
Sure.
Nice. Also, guys, I got a Genji statue.
Yeah? Oh, how's the Genji?
Are we going to talk about this Genji?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty good, Chad.
Yay!
I can leave now. I've done my part.
We're going to pause for 5 seconds so you guys can take in that joke. And we're back. I still do have a statue. And yeah, it's like, I was talking to Chad a bit before the show, and it's a really cool looking statue, and I like how Genji looks. I don't like playing Genji in Overwatch, and I hate playing against him, but he's cool. He's a cyber ninja. It was like $80. It's like, it's neat. It came in a really cool box, too. I really like when statues come in a cool box. Not that I really buy statues.
It makes
but
it
I just
feel
remember,
worth it.
Yeah, I just remember going to Fan Expo, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago when Overwatch first came out, and they had the statues in the boxes, and they were, like, really high up, and it was like, oh, man, I want that statue. And I was like, how much? And like, $300. It's Overwatch. It's the newest game ever. You're going to love it. It's like, I only have $20. He's like, ha, you want a Funko Pop, kid? And then I bought a
I don't even think you can get it. Well, I guess it depends on the Funko Pop, but there are a lot of Funko Pops that go for more than $20 also.
Well, it probably went like, you want a Funko Pop kit? And I was like, yeah, I want that one. And I pointed to like the case and it was like an exclusive New York Comic Con one. He's like, that one's $300.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's how I got my Winnie the Pooh. No, they didn't have a Winnie the Pooh Funko back then. But yeah, I don't know.
It's like, probably do now.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But yeah, I don't know. It's cool having a Genji statue that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
And he's looking at me.
Sometimes when you look into the Genji looks back at you.
Yeah, it really, really do be that way. Really do. How about you, Emily? How's your week going?
Well, Alex, have you ever heard of Disney Descendants?
Yes.
I watched all 3 Disney Descendants movies this week.
Oh.
Because I needed... I needed emotional comfort food, and I can't find that anywhere but horrible franchises made for small children. Chad, I assume that you don't know what this is at all.
No, but I have a better solution to comfort, but
all right.
You're not going to like it.
No, I don't think I will.
Okay.
I want to hear it, though.
It's alcohol.
Yay!
Yeah, I mean, that's usually involved, too, but...
You can do both.
Disney Descendants is a musical TV movie series for children about kids that are the children of famous Disney villains. So the main character is named Mal, and she is the daughter of Maleficent, and her best friend is Evie, the daughter of the Evil Queen. And from Snow White. There we go. I had to go through all the princesses first. And they're friends with Jay, the son of Jafar, and Carlos, the son of Cruella de Vil. And it's very bad and also very fun. And I enjoyed it a lot. So that's been my week.
Wow.
Is these stupid movies.
Wow. Wow.
I tried to watch the animated shorts that were also made for this show, but honestly, they were too bad even for me, which I know is not a limit that anyone thought could exist, but really and truly, I watched like four of them and I was like, I can't do any more of this. I have to stop.
You know,
which that's how you
idea.
Know that it's bad.
So, do I feel worse for us or the listeners that have to listen to us?
Hmm.
Oh, I like to think people will enjoy the fact that I am bad at existing in general. I imagine there's a lot of Schadenfreude involved.
That's fair.
Hmm. I almost bought a new car this week and then didn't have to, so I was very happy.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so I was, well, okay, it all started when, because my car is very old. It's a PT Cruiser.
How
very,
old is
very,
it?
2003?
Oh, yeah,
that's pretty old.
18 years old or something like that. Maybe it's 2005, but still, not too young. I think my cat's older than my car, but not by much. So anyway, PT Cruiser, you know, having some issues. It goes clankety clank, suspension's bad, so I was going to take it to the shop. And then we got like a hail rainstorm, and I was driving my PT Cruiser, and I was taking a turn, and the front of my car went to where the back of my car was, and the back of my car went to where the front is. I did a full 360, 180. 180?
Oh, goodness.
I did a 180 in the rain. I just like slid into another lane, but there was no one around, so it was very lucky. But then I was like, oh, maybe I should like, you know, take it to the shop. So I decided to take it to the shop. And in the meantime, I spent like a day looking at cars on Auto Trader, which is, you know, a place where you look for cars. And cars are expensive, the ones that work. So I was not very happy. But then I found a cool orange car, and I'm like, I'm going to get this orange car. And then it turns out that he just fixed my PT Cruiser for $400, and I don't have to buy a $12,000 car. And
that's good.
Back to where I started. But
well, now you can save up for that $12,000 car.
Oscar talk about bullshit and you almost got into a car accident and had to buy a car. Like, you got like a legitimate story this week.
Yeah,
it was terrifying.
Didn't say anything about that at all. You let me talk about a Disney movie for 5 minutes.
Hey, the Descendants is a trilogy of fine films. It's more than just a movie, Emily.
Well, that's true. There are three of them.
Probably more on the go.
There's three movies, two short films, a cartoon series of shorts, an animated special, and apparently there's supposed to be another movie in the works. But also, one of the main cast members of Descendants died in 2019. He had like a freak medical, like he had like a seizure that was like from a freak medical condition that like I don't even think they knew he had, and he was like actually really young, so I don't know how they're gonna I don't know what the plan is for future Descendants franchise things, but
good old Descendants. But yeah, I survived my car. It wasn't an accident because I didn't actually crash, so
I said almost good.
Yeah, have you guys?
Said almost.
That's still scary. Like
it was, and it was like pouring rain, hailing, and it was like, oh, I'm alive.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's really scary.
Yeah, have you guys ever been in a car that is having an accident?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Oh, do you want to relive that now on the show? You don't have to.
It was a while ago. I was coming out of the mall. There was one of those. I was at a stoplight. I don't really feel like explaining the intersection. It's one of those really complicated intersections.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hanging out. I was waiting for it to turn yellow so I could go because people were coming and I was trying to make a left turn. And so it turns yellow and I start going, and then the one guy turns green for the other people and we kind of just collide. And there wasn't a lot I could do. I mean, I hit the brakes, obviously not fast enough, but
sure.
Because I was so far out in the intersection waiting for my chance to turn, and then like someone blared through the yellow, and then it turned red, and yeah, it was just one of those things that happened. I didn't get like a ticket or nothing for it. It was insurance covered everything. It sucked, but it wasn't like, you know, we were both going like maybe 15. It wasn't particularly fun. I've spun out a couple times in bad weather. that's always really terrifying, and you're just like, oh, I just saw parts of my life flash before my eyes, and I'm facing the wrong direction. Have been lucky to not hit anybody while doing that. Came really close once, but...
Yeah, and it's also something like, I don't even... Because I think when you're spinning out, you shouldn't steer, right? Or you shouldn't hit the brakes. It's one of those two.
I think you don't hit the brakes. Brakes.
Yeah, I don't know if I did. It was a thing where it was like, I just turned around. I'm like, oh, I'm here now. But I don't actually remember what happened in that moment. So I guess it's not great for next time I spin out. Knock on wood. But yeah.
When I was, I think it was like 19, I was driving back to work at an office job that I had at the time. And I, the person in the lane next to me, but like slightly ahead of me, decided that they needed to shift lanes into my lane. And we were too close to each other, and they sent my car right into a telephone pole and totaled the car. I was fine somehow. I don't know how that happened, but like, I didn't even, there was literally no injuries on my end, but the car was like very bad. Thankfully, it was my sister's first car that had been handed down to me, so I wasn't
family heirloom.
I mean, it was like a Toyota Camry, so it wasn't like an heirloom, but like I didn't have that much emotional attachment to it other than like needing to be able to drive. So that's the worst of an accident that I've been in, probably.
Wow.
You guys name your cars?
I didn't name that one. My current car is named Dana Scully 2 because this is the second one that I've had of this make, model, and color. It's a Kia Soul Alien Green, and because it's Alien Green, I named the first one Dana Scully and the second one Dana Scully 2. The first one met her demise when I was driving home from dropping my now wife off at work, and someone when I was attempting to turn was going too fast and barreled into me. R.I.P. Dana Scully 1.
I don't name my cars. No, I named it. Sorry. Oh man, I had a, it's named Chad. Yep.
The Chad highest Waller. Honor.
Yeah, it's a Chad Waller, but, and it's still around too. Paid $430, but you know, it's still going.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you name your cars Chad?
No.
Do you name them Chad? Do you name them another name? But you could name it Chad. I mean, it's a bit self-centered, but you could.
I know a lot of people that are like, I named this my new car. Here's what I named it, and it's like, you're dumb.
I mean, cars. I don't like use the car name boats. A lot. That's just for me.
Me and Reginald went out on a drive today. Who's Reginald? Oh, my car. Good.
I don't know. Hey, we're at 28 minutes. There's a lot of comic books. Let's talk about comic books.
There's so
I'm
many
also
comics.
Possibly going to get hit by a hurricane in the next couple of days.
Oh.
I meant to bring that up.
Don't die, Emily.
I am slightly to the right of the path, the current projected path of Hurricane Irma.
How's your house?
Is Hurricane Irma God.
This house is absolute fucking garbage. So, like, if we actually end up in the path of the hurricane, like, this house is not going to make it. But we should be fine if it's just, like, very intense wind.
That's good.
And not the actual hurricane.
I hope the hurricane only breaks wind.
I just don't want to lose power. It's very hot outside. And I went through Katrina. I don't want to have to do that again.
Yes.
Living in Mississippi?
I just need,
we are literally in the process of saving up money to like move to somewhere that is not in the path of hurricanes.
Do you have any place in mind, or is it just, you know, any hurricane, non-hurricane place?
I mean, we've thought about, like, Georgia. It's still in the South, which I don't love, but like it's close enough that I could still visit home fairly easily if I wanted to come see my mom and sister. And it's out of the path of hurricanes usually, even though it does get a lot of bad weather over there, but at least it's not house destroying weather.
Yay. Just don't go to Louisiana.
No, don't. I have no plans to go to Louisiana.
Okay, right. Okay, good.
I mean, I like to visit New Orleans, but no, I don't need to live in a basin.
My friend was stationed in Louisiana for a while, and apparently it is a godforsaken hellhole.
Louisiana's a lot.
But they have Mardi Gras. Yeehaw.
They do, and Mardi Gras is great, but that's mostly it.
Yeah.
And they have beignets, which are good.
Beignets?
Beignet is like a type of, it's kind of like a donut. It's like fried dough with like powdered sugar on it. But it's really
good.
Sounds
like a donut.
I remember old Frido. He took the ring to Mordor.
Yeah. Chad, I gotta say, we're half an hour in, and you got a few good jokes in so far.
I know. I don't know what it is. I did have a little bit of brandy while we've been recording. I feel like that ordered me.
Is it good
brandy?
Yeah, it's the Chinese stuff.
Nice.
Well, because your jokes have been on point, you get to pick the first book we talk about, Chad. So what's it gonna be?
King Spawn number one. I did not read.
One. Yay!
just deleting that right out. Do you guys want to hit up Made in Korea? I feel like how this one's progressing as far as a story goes.
So last episode of Made in Korea, we were pretty sure that there were some school shooting about to go on. Chad, did that take place?
They began a school shooting. Our friendly neighborhood robot got shot in the face and had to reprogram a little bit, and then decided to kill some people who are doing the shooting, and it was really good. And she saved some people, and I really like this issue. I was kind of concerned at what direction this was going to take, as far as like, oh god, she's going to really start committing some really serious crimes. And then she didn't. She stopped them. I mean, she helped a little, but she backtracked, and now she's back in Korea with her actual quote-unquote father who built her, and I have no idea where this is going to keep going. I've really excited to see how this turns out.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked the issue, but I also, like, I feel like the Columbine-ness of the school shooting was a little much, like, the whole asking the girl if she believed in God thing really annoyed me, because like that didn't even fucking happen. That was, I mean, okay, like maybe it happened, but like nobody fucking knows, because the girl who was supposed to have said it is dead, and like it was a bit dumb.
Exploitative. I can see that.
And also, like, I'm pretty sure that the killers also, like, the school shooters in this issue, well, in the series, I guess, because they've been in many issues, I think they're also named after the Columbine shooters. Like, I know one of them was named Eric. I don't know if the other one was named Dylan, but, like, I didn't feel like parsing through all of the previous issues to figure out if the other one was named Dylan, but I don't know. It just, that kind of annoyed me, but like other than that, I've really been enjoying Made in Korea, and I'm interested to see where it's going. I didn't really, the direction that this issue took was, I guess, not what I kind of expected out of it, so I don't really know what to expect going forward.
It's not subtle.
No.
I think it's doing what it needs to do pretty well. I agree, like, the Columbine stuff was, like, laid on really thick. I didn't know about the names, but just some of the other, the imagery and the some of the other scenes. It's like, oh, this is in that Skin song that came out a year ago.
There was the Flyleaf song that was done about Columbine, that was like, Do You Believe in God, written on the bullet, and Cassie pulled the trigger, which is... Cassie was supposedly the girl who they asked, do you believe in God, before shooting her at Columbine. Which, again, I stress, probably did not happen.
There was once upon a time where I enjoyed a bit of Flyleaf, and I'm kind of glad that time has passed.
Lead singer Flyleaf went to my high school for a year.
Huh. Small world.
Yeah, she was, like, in a production with our theater department, so our the now former theater teacher had a picture with her in, like, the theater room.
I saw her as a solo act open at Rockfest. I wasn't that impressed. She had a lot of, like, she had a shrillness to her voice. It was actually kind of unpleasant live. I don't know if that was a mixing issue or if she's actually maybe not that great a singer, but
she's always been a little shrill. I think it worked with what Flyleaf was doing before. I don't know about her solo work.
Anyways, what do you guys want to read next? What are you going to talk about?
I would like to talk about Mr. the Batman Reptilian, number 3.
Oh, I didn't actually finish reading that because I had to start setting up. But, I mean, I've liked this book so far. I enjoy fascist Batman. It's very sad that John isn't here to talk about his favorite book.
Yeah, it's so good.
I don't know if I feel like he's a fascist. He's just very, like, he just doesn't care.
He's like
around his do-no-harm rule. He's like, in 20 seconds, shoot everybody in the legs. The guy's like, what? And he's like, you have 10 seconds.
I know, it's kind of fascist-y. But it's like, he's like, fascist-y, but like, doesn't. But like, at the same time, he's also like, oh, like, this is kind of just how Batman is. And it's just like a very interesting take on that. I love the end of this book where, like, the Joker is, like, he's basically had his face ripped off and he's in a stretcher. And then Batman, like, tells a joke. I don't know what that joke was, but I'm looking it up right now, so.
See, to me, like fascism has, like, very specific definitions as far as political ideology goes. And I'm getting more that he's a weird, self-absorbed control freak.
Sure.
It also just doesn't care, right? Like, he's super just, like, apathetic to everybody around him, and he has these, like, ideals he's trying to maintain, like, you know, don't murder people, but he doesn't really care. And that's kind of been, like, he hasn't murdered people, but he's like, he'll come really close to the edge, right? Like,
well, yeah, and, like, he won't save people either.
Character.
Yeah, it's yeah, it's, the line is the Joker's, like, lying there, and Liam Sharp's art is just so perfect for this book, and the way he does his, like, grotesque Batman as, like, this figure of the night. But Joker is, like, covered in bandages, and you see, like, the red from his, like, smile, and it looks like blood, and you can't tell where else he's bleeding, but, you know, there's, like, a bunch of paramedics around him. And Batman's just standing there, and he says, "Well, boys, looks like he'll be telling his jokes in the county slammer from now on." And that's the end of the issue. That's where it ends. He's like, "Haha, I told a joke." And it's just such a weird and wonderful book by Garth Ennis and Liam Sharp.
I really like it. It's so dark and goofy. It definitely reminds me of All-Star Batman, with not quite as insane.
I get those vibes, but this feels a little more like, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but like All-Star Batman is really like a lot, and this is also a lot, but like in a different way.
It's like camp. I mean, okay, All-Star Batman does have its camp too in how serious it takes it, but yeah. I feel like this one's a bit more like, I don't know if Frank Miller did All-Star Batman on purpose or not.
Yeah,
but it's a fantastic book, but I think that I think this one is on purpose, and there's this wonderful sense of camp where you know that it's just like so over the top, and it's so sticking to these guns, and it's just so much fun to watch, even though what's happening is like, hey, a bunch of people are getting like mutilated, and it's kind of like disturbing, but it's not that, like, there wasn't ever a page where I was like, oh my God, that's awful. I was just laughing, you know?
Yeah. So. I love Alfred in this too, where he does and doesn't give a shit. And Batman's just like, are you going to help me? And he's kind of like, no, like,
yeah,
you know, like their relationship was so weird. Cause it seems like they hate each other, but are like all they have in the world.
Yeah, Alfred doesn't really take Bruce's shit, but he's also like, all right, what do you got? Okay. I like Alfred being kind of a dick. Because, like, imagine working with this Batman all the time. Like, Jesus. But yeah, this continues to be great. It also feels like it's been more than three issues. I know plot wise, not too much has happened, but
it
just
does feel like it's been more than three issues.
But it's left a really it's left a mark on me so far, and it's only been three. So yeah,
for sure.
Did I hear Harley Quinn number six left a mark on y'all?
I mean, it actually kind of just not. It didn't leave a mark, and that's part of the problem is that, and I mean, like, the new art is technically competent. Whoever's doing the fill-in art, I don't even remember, but like, technically, like, it looks like a standard comic book, but the problem is that one of the biggest appeals of this Harley Quinn book has been, like, its cartoony art style, and taking that away makes it so much less charming, even though this book was, like, I thought the issue was, like, well written, and I enjoyed parts of it, but, like, I didn't enjoy looking at it.
It's I thought the artwork was honestly kind of ugly. Going from the very, very stylized cartoon to almost like the DC House style really does this a disservice. It does not fit with the writing at all.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it's the DC House style, so I feel like it's technically competent. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, my issue with this comic is, like, it's somewhat mediocre with high peaks, and this new artist is going to be around for a little bit, and I'm thinking, this is a great reason for me to just not read this anymore.
I thought it was only going to be two issues.
Well, that's enough for me to be like, I'm done.
Okay.
That's 2 months of Chad.
I read a lot of comics. I don't need to keep reading this one.
That's fair.
I didn't even finish this issue. I hated the artwork so much, and I was just like, without it to carry things along, I was like, I'm just kind of bored. I really don't like how Selina Kyle looks in this. I really don't like Harley looks in this. Don't care about their talking because it doesn't fit. I'm out. Like, I got better things to do today. Like, clean.
I will say it is kind of fun that you know, let's say like a year after, like in the span of a year, you've gone from like hating Harley Quinn to like liking Harley Quinn. And I just think that's pretty neat.
I don't then like again, Harley Quinn. I tolerate Harley Quinn.
There has been a fair amount of Harley Quinn media that you have quite enjoyed.
Oh, wait. The HBO cartoon doesn't count because it's actually good.
Speaking of hopping off things, I'm done with Wonder Woman.
I didn't read the
numbers, but yeah, the current run. Not as a character. She's a cool character, but yeah.
Yeah, did you read this?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, it's just, Alex, what did you think?
It's just very text-heavy. And it was text heavy, and then they introduced Batmite into it. The text just like doubled, and it was like, oh.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. But
that is unfortunate.
No more Wonder Woman. Jean-Luc's not here this week, but he had some kind words to say about one Robin number 5.
Oh, I liked Robin.
What did you think of it?
Have you been reading Robin also, Alex? Or
yeah.
I mean, I've liked this series overall. I don't know. It's just, it's been a lot of fun. I really liked getting to have all of the different, like, Robin, former Robin interactions, and like the scene where he hugs Jason. Oh my God. Like, it's so good.
Yeah. He hugs Jason because he's like basically like fighting the Robins one by one because he's entering like a death tournament. And they're all like, don't do it. And he goes up to Jason, and they're kind of just, like, standing there. And then he walks up and hugs him, and he's like, you always were an emotional one. And then he, like, shocks him.
Yeah.
Like there's a moment where he's, like, hugging him, and Jason's
like,
oh,
it's
okay.
It's like, Jason,
like,
buddy.
It's a nice moment.
Jason, you should have known.
Yeah, and he just, like, electrocutes him and runs away. And then we get Dick Grayson, who, mm-hmm. he's just on such a roll in all the books he's in. He's just such a great character. It's like, I love their relationship, and there's a line where it was like, you know, all the other Robins were before you and everything, but they were all sort of like Bruce's Robins, and you were my Robin because when Dick
Robin.
Was Batman, and it was like a nice little like, I believe in you, now go and fight in the death tournament, you know.
Oh yeah, it was just so I've just really liked this book, and It's a lot of fun. I like Flatline a lot. I know that she wasn't in this issue very much, but she wasn't hardly, I don't think she was in last issue at all. So I got to see her again this issue and was like, yay, it's Flatline.
Yay. And John Luke says, I've been really impressed by this run on Robin. Never been a big Williamson fan, which me too. Like the way I know Williamson is he's the Flash guy, which is not a compliment coming from us. But this feels like some of his most natural writing, and he's a good angle on Damian. Lots of fun, just the right amount of superhero bullshit. Dirtbag Ra's in the last issue was a blast.
And yeah, Dirtbag Ra's al Ghul was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chad, what did you think of Department of Truth number 12?
I like it. This comic continues to somehow get away with having shitloads of writing and exposition in it, but I don't get mad at it.
It's good writing, Chad.
The artwork is really, really good. The freaking panels with the helicopters flying and, like, the locusts, and then some of the helicopters have, like, human faces, like, the silhouettes of them. Like, those are fucking fantastic. The reveal, the heel with Hawk being, like, actually the bad guy, I didn't see coming until this issue when it was like, there's that, you know, when they kind of seeded it, it might be him. And it's like, oh shit, it might actually be him. But like up until then, it never really occurred to me because he just seems so gung-ho about his job that, I don't know, I could brush off all of his stuff by him. He's just a weird kind of old abrasive bad guy who's working for the military, right? Like, I don't know, he's written really well. See, I really enjoyed this issue. I continue to really enjoy this comic. I have no idea where it's going as far as like overall plot. Like it just kind of feels like it's chugging in random directions and I'm along for the ride because it's executed well. But taken as a whole, like if you're trying to map out character arcs and plots and stuff like this, it's probably actually kind of messy, you know?
Yeah. I read last issue and this one together, and last issue was the wrap up of the Bigfoot arc, which was, you know, fantastic arc and just, yeah, really emotional gut punches there and nice moments too. And after finishing that one, I had a moment where I'm like, we're 11 issues in and this, I don't even know where we're going like at all. And it's like, what are we even facing? Because it's just like everything that they're facing is so big and so abstract that it's like, but what is the actual like bad guy or like face? And I know they're going against like the big shadow organization and everything, but it's like, it's almost like it's been 11 issues of encyclopedia stuff, of stuff that I really, really interested in, and I don't really care about the story. And then, you know, issue 12 comes and we're like, oh, Hawk's a bad guy. And I was like, oh, shit, okay, well, there's actually some, like, stuff going there, which isn't necessarily good or bad, but it was just like, oh, okay. 12 issues in, we got Black Hat revealed. Probably, I don't know. It might be a fake.
I really enjoyed, because I don't know, I guess maybe I'm just stupid, but, like, I didn't expect, like, the Hawk working for Black Hat, I guess, like, I can kind of, like, it didn't totally shock me, but I also wasn't, like, on that, I wasn't thinking that. But then when he says the thing about being the guy who, like, talked to Cole's mom when he was a kid, like, I didn't expect that. And when he said, like, you knew I was a liar, like, I was like, oh shit, like, it was really good.
That was a good line.
Yeah,
I really liked that little bit.
I like the art shift too, from past to present.
I love one thing I really love about the art in this issue is the way that, like, Cole's mom and everything is drawn so cartoony, and then, like, he is so very, like, fully, like, rendered in realism, and it just serves to further illustrate, like, the distance between the two of them as people existing in the world. I really liked it.
Yeah, this is a very good book by James Tynion, who's just, like, yeah, killing it.
And as they advertise at the end of every issue, everyone should get the little Department of Truth pin. I got one and I liked it quite a bit.
Yay.
It's on my pin board. All shiny and chrome.
What'd you guys think of Die number 19?
Oh boy. This whole thing smacks of gender, doesn't it? I really, I mean, you know, I love every issue of Die, but I especially really loved this issue. And this might be naive of me, I was not 100% sure we were actually going to get some introspection on Ash's gender stuff. But I should have guessed, being that it's Kieran Gillen. And I just, it was really great. And I really liked that they were able to get her out of the water. And I don't know, I love this book. I really like the design of the villain that they show at the very end. That's like the suit of armor with the D20 on top. It was really good. Yeah, I love Die. Shocker.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I like the gender conversation is like really heavy, and it's like, oh wow, they're tackling this. They're, you know, the whole like, oh, your personification of like your self-hatred over this is literally trying to kill us. And she's like, okay, I got it solved. And then she basically just tries to commit suicide. And it's like, okay.
Wow.
I'm glad that she didn't die. I feel like having her come out of the water wearing white's a little cliche. I was like, really? That's what we're doing?
I liked it. I know it's cliche, but I liked it.
And then everything in between that is also just like high stakes emotion, as far as the one lady and her daughter, and Chuck just like, hey, I think I see her, and then just killing her daughter. So
as soon as he said that, I knew that he was gonna do that. And
yeah, he's such a bastard. the one girl like using up her final wish to, and like now the gods are like, yeah, we're not gonna help you anymore, and it's like, oh no, that's like such a good way to like work the rules, like, hey, shit's gonna happen in the next issue and you can't deus ex out of it, like,
yeah, they're cutting off all their lifelines.
So there's like so much really good writing in this from a character point, from like a thematic point, and then just even like structurally how it's fitting and into the sandwich, I think, into the issues around it, because they're really prepping for next issue and it really comes off of the previous one just fantastically. Like, this is such a fantastic end, because I'm guessing this is gonna be over at 20.
Yeah, that seems likely.
Is that confirmed?
No, but it is my guess.
They have not, to my knowledge, they have not confirmed what the end issue is.
Yes, the series finale is Die number 20 later this year. Well, this was published in February.
I mean, I guess I just didn't hear that, but yeah, that sounds right. I mean,
so we're done Die next month, guys. Unless they delay it like a couple.
I wonder when the hardcover is coming out, because I could see buying this in hardcover.
I could see it be a holiday release. But yeah, I don't own any trades of this yet, and I'm gonna get definitely get 20 page collection hopefully it's more than 20 pages, 20 issue. Yep. But speaking of top tier comics, we had Top Cow number 1, Saint Mercy.
Man, we're at 52 minutes. We really want to talk about a crappy Top Cow book.
Oh, we're not going to talk about it because Chad and I didn't finish it, huh?
I finished it.
Oh, did you? Okay, John Luke didn't finish it, so that was what I was thinking of. I didn't finish it. I got to the point where they introduced the other girl, and I was like, I'm done with this.
So she's like sacrificed herself at the end, and then a demon like drags her somewhere.
Cool.
So, yeah. Does anyone have any books that they felt strongly about that they read, positively or negatively?
I want to say I'm continuing to read Vinyl.
Nice.
I still don't understand what Vinyl is.
It's a serial killer book and a comedy. This issue is actually like, I was afraid it was going to do what Plastic did in issue 3 and just kind of get like off the rails stupid, but not in a way I'm enjoying, and it's kind of doing that. It's like, oh, by the way, this new character shows up, and it's like, oh, let's not introduce new characters in issue 3. You did that last time and it didn't work. And she's even crazier. She likes to bathe the blood and make suits out of people. Look, she's a real serial killer. And it's like, uh-huh, you already like took it to an extreme point. You don't need to go over that edge. Like, you took it to 11 and you're trying to go to 12, and I don't need that anymore. Like, just work with who you got and solve the problem with the characters that you have.
This book continues to make me feel like an insane person when I read it.
That's fair.
Is that how Alzheimer's work?
No, I don't think that is how Alzheimer's work, which is like the big thing at the end that doesn't make any fucking sense and is like a stupid way to do Jeopardy.
Yeah, this is a wild book. And it's kind of just worth flipping through every week just to see where it goes. And this is like, I mean, somewhat similar to Batman Reptilian. This feels like far more than three issues that we've gotten.
Yeah.
But it's like for different reasons.
Every
where
time
like...
I read this book, I feel like I'm reading something that's supposed to make sense, but it doesn't. Like I'm looking at this and it feels like a comic book that should make sense to me. And then when I read it, I'm like, am I having a stroke? Is there something wrong with my brain? Why can I not take this in to my eyeballs?
That's a fair assessment of this. It's definitely not structured or constructed as well as I wish it was. I am enjoying it, but I'm concerned.
Yeah. That's a very good way to summarize this series. I'm concerned,
Alex,
for this person.
I heard you liked Echolands.
I did. It's kind of focused on like a Red Riding Hood type person, but in this weird world where it's got like a bunch of different timelines coming together, but a bunch of different art styles. And page 3 was what really sold it to me. So I'm just going to share with you guys. It's also, unfortunately, a horizontal book that's very hard to read unless you're reading in person or...
Yeah, I gave up. I looked at the first page and I was like, not happening.
Yeah, but it's basically like some sort of freedom fighter kind of people are like fighting against these fascist government people and they steal something. And that's really what all that's happened. But the art is like gorgeous.
Honestly, it's incoherent to me. Like some of these panels, and like part of it is just because it's so big. But...
you can look at it for like probably like 10 minutes just to like either get all the references of like different art styles or stuff going on, but the rest of it is far more coherent in terms of storytelling other than that splash page.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a really cool book. It's one that I definitely want to pick up in person and actually read in the thing, because online it just doesn't really work well on a screen.
No.
Sure.
But yeah, just J.H. Williams art, and that's the last one I'll send, but it's just really, really good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool. I just, like, I was getting to the end of my list, and I was very tired. I did not want to read this book.
Yeah, it's hard to have energy for weird, it's not even that it's just landscape. It's very long landscape. Like, it's very thinly stretched. But, yeah, definitely what I recommend checking out in a physical version, if y'all have an option to. Any other books as we approach the hour mark?
did anyone else read Superman versus Lobo?
Fuck no.
No,
oh my god, wait, really?
Emily, as our resident Lobo fan.
Shit, okay. I mean, this book was really stupid. Lobo and Superman, like, okay, so Lobo is on like a vacation and then some shit starts going down, and then like he kind of tries to save the day, but then Superman swoops in and also saves the day, and like so Superman gets all the credit for saving the day, and so Lobo is like, fuck this, and decides that he is gonna use, by the way, Lex Luthor has an app and it's called like Lexer, and it's essentially become like a hub of awful right wing internet stuff. And so Lobo decides that he is going to, he starts a show on Lexer where he is like filming himself in these videos, and like, he has also got these robots that go out and pretend to be civilians. And then when Superman saves them, they are like, Superman didn't ask me about my fear of heights before rescuing me from that fight and taking me really high up in the air. Or like, like basically trying to sow seeds of discontent with the way Superman saves people. And he's trying to start the hashtag Superman is over party. And then at the end, it becomes the Superman and Lobo are over party or something. And then they both get transported to each other's home planets. This is a really dumb and weird book, but it was also extremely, it's extremely old people doing current internet things. And,
nice.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It's also got Mirka and Dolfo art, but I mean, I just flipped through it and really? It's kind of ugly. It's kind of like,
I didn't even recognize it as her art.
It's like Mirka and Dolfo doing her art. It's like her doing DC House style, and that just does not suit her.
I mean, I didn't know that she was doing the art on this book, so I was just like, oh, this is just like something DC House style almost. I didn't even recognize this as Mirka and Dolfo art at all.
Yeah. Say what you will about her writing, but her art's normally quite good.
It's yeah, I mean,
weird
I
to see her do art style.
I didn't think the book looked bad. I just don't really, I didn't necessarily like the style, but like it's because she was trying to emulate that DC style. So I don't know. But I thought other people were gonna read this, so I read it.
I mean, you're the only one who read. Well, actually, I think I read the first one of Crush and Lobo. But you
like
are
Crush
the resident
Lobo much more. Yeah,
you're the resident Lobo fan now.
I guess so.
Congrats.
And there's a scene where Lobo has a pair of like short shorts that say like "Bite Me, Fanboys," and that kind of made me laugh a little bit. But
nice.
I also like. I kind of liked Superman, Son of Kal-El. I really liked
yeah,
the first
that was
issue.
Good.
I really liked the first issue. Some of the second issue felt a little not dissimilar from Superman versus Lobo in the attempting to do social media timeliness. I don't know, but I like this a lot better than that.
Yeah, I like John having a conversation on the moon with his dad about like Earth and how big it is
cute.
And what the role is. Like that was such a good moment. And some of the other stuff was not quite to that level, but it was a strong comic, I think. I really enjoyed it. The little moments, the character stuff.
Yeah.
Worked really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, like the first issue was super strong, and then this one only being like a little bit less strong doesn't really deter me from this book.
Yeah.
What did you think, Alex?
I liked it. I really liked the exchange on the moon and the whole, like, his name's John? It is John. Yeah,
it's John.
Yeah, and John, like, criticizes Superman, and Superman's like, no, and then John's like, oh my god, I'm sorry. And he's like, no, it's okay, bullets bounce off me. I should be able to handle some constructive criticism.
Yeah.
And Superman says something else, and John's like, that's idiotic. And he's like, and Superman's like, well, that's not constructive.
Your criticism is getting a little less constructive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
They got a cute back and forth. It's also been some good Superman times. I mean, I guess not in Superman versus Lobo, but, you know, last issue of Nightwing,
well,
he was there.
Well, also,
moment.
There wasn't really that much of, like, there was Superman in Superman versus Lobo, but it, like, the issues with that were not really with Superman or how he was characterized.
Yeah. I also forgot that Tom Taylor does this book too, and it's just another neat book by Tom Taylor. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to future issues of this.
Yeah. What about anything else? That Texas Blood or Old Guard or
That Texas Blood continues to be really good for
yeah.
all the reasons why it's really good.
Yeah,
nice.
It's a good book.
Did you guys read Darkhawk number one?
I did.
Yeah, I did. I'm kind of pissed at Jean-Luc.
Chad didn't like
Why?
It. I kind of liked it. I thought it was all right.
It was so, like just a generic ass first issue. Like it had a couple things going for it, but by the end of it, I was like, well, I just read a Marvel number one, and I won't read a number two because Marvel. Like it was stupid.
I thought it was all right.
It's a Kyle Higgins written book.
This would have been a better comic if it hadn't been a superhero comic, and it's really just about like this kid who is like up and coming in basketball, and then has a an illness that's going to basically prevent him from playing, and now he has to find, like, what his role in the world is. Like, that is so much more interesting than, did he find shiny rock and his superhero punch bad guy?
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't punch the bad guy. Well, I guess he did. Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was pretty good. The pathos of, like, all the kid having multiple sclerosis stuff, like, really was, I you know, it was emotionally affecting, and I don't know. I'm interested to see where this goes in an issue two. I guess from the way that John talked about it, like, he seemed to really like it, and I was just sort of medium on it. I didn't dislike it the way Thrad does, but I also am not 100% sure how I feel about it going forward.
Huh.
So I'm here for it. I'm just, like, also not totally sold. I'm like 80% sold. What about you, Alex?
I did not read it.
Okay.
I missed the message where Jean-Luc said good things about it, so I'll give it a go. I mean, I like Kyle Higgins generally as a writer, so
yeah,
give it a go. Although I don't really read Marvel books, but I guess I read a Beta Ray Bill, so here we go.
That's different. That's by Daniel Warren Johnson.
What a guy! Well, he's done Beta Ray Bill now, which is really good because now he'll do something else.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
I probably won't buy Beta Ray Bill. I didn't really quite like how that ended on the whole. Like, it was fine.
I liked it.
I won't buy it either. I think I wanted it to be longer. I liked what it did in its issues, but I feel like it's not a full. It is a full story, but I feel like I don't know.
I feel like it's missing something.
12 or something, it would be a thing.
Yeah.
I still really enjoyed it.
I think it should have been an issue or two longer for sure. Like,
yeah.
Like, I liked it, but we could have done more with this.
Yep.
You're a kitty.
Yeah, that's Buster.
Kitty.
I think Buster wants us to end.
Wait, but did anyone else read Dark Blood?
Yes.
Okay.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, you know, it's about... It was a little harder to follow than the last issue, but, like, I thought it was still pretty good. The jumping back and forth in time is just, like... I guess this is just... That's just a part of this book until we... meet in the middle, but it's kind of interesting. I think it's got an interesting premise, and the characters are kind of interesting, so
nice.
Did you read it, Alex?
I did not, but I will just say that we're getting closer to the release of Primordial by Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino.
We sure are, buddy.
The book about all the animals shot into space. They did not die. That's part of the tagline. So, what were those space monkeys and dogs doing? Who knows?
We'll find out.
Yeah, but if that's everything, I think that about Rasmus Upsa for the comics podcast episode 267.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yay,
thanks for stopping by, guys, and for keeping up with us. Don't worry, Jean-Luc Botbill will be back next week.
I hope so.
Hosting duty, and our ears with his adventures and maybe his thoughts on some books that he read while he were gone. If not, we'll probably just talk about Star Wars and Lego, which you talked about last week when he wasn't here, and that was a cool
if yeah, we're allowed to talk thing. About those things when he's not here. That's the rule.
Okay,
we need to all
Star Wars.
Catch up on The Bad Batch and talk about there was a season finale of The Bad Batch that we've not talked about.
Nice. Yes, we do. We do. But Chad, what is a fun Star Wars fact that you have for us to end off the show?
I don't have any fun Star Wars facts because Star Wars isn't fun.
Thanks.
You're
and that's
nerds.
The comics podcast. Got him. You can find Chad. Chad, where can people find you?
You can find me at a couple places. I'm on Twitter at AnonymBand. You can go to my Bandcamp. If you search Anonym, find some of my shitty music. I'll have new stuff coming soon. I actually downloaded a thing to record VR chat so I can start trying to make like VR chat music videos for this. I have ideas.
Yes. Oh, I forgot to mention my Oculus Quest is back up and running.
So oh, hell yeah. You should play with us this weekend.
Can join the world of VR chat again. Emily, if not in VR chat, because I don't think you have VR chat, where can people find you?
Well, I have a fun Star Wars fact.
Oh, yes, please do. It's well, Chad's fact was so fun, I just didn't think anyone could beat it. But
in the first Star Wars movie, the pants that Mark Hamill is wearing are just bleached Levi blue jeans.
Damn, get yourself some Levi blue jeans, bleach them, and you'll be that
you'll be
favorite
just
farm
like
boy.
Luke Skywalker, the but best poorer. Twink in the galaxy.
Is he the best twink in the galaxy? The extended okay. Well, we'll wait for Jean-Luc with that one. There's a lot of things. He's up there.
Jean-Luc knows a lot more about the other twinks in the galaxy than I do, for sure.
Yep.
But if you want to find me on Twitter, you can do that at mpandanata.
Yay! And you can find Jean-Luc on his Twitter
at Mountain Dew Liker.
Mountain Dew Liker, spelled MTDEW Liker, LIKER. And you can also check out his Letterboxd account, although I don't know if he's updating it right now. There was a point where he was back to updating it, but hey, his older views are up there, and I'm sure you haven't seen all those movies, so go there anyway.
I rated all of the Descendants movies on my Letterboxd.
Number one will shock you. And you can find me at Alex Hanziak on the social media networks and not spinning out in my car. So,
woohoo!
Yeah, lots of fun. Thanks for stopping by. And, end us off, Chad Emily.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Classic.